You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
Oh, man, little droplets of Armed American Radio are raining down all over the United States today, this week. What a week it's been, folks. Welcome to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters, every week here on Armed American Radio Network. And we have got a lot to talk about and a lot of great news going on tonight. Let's talk first about who we've got coming into the broadcast. KMPT AM 930, Missoula, Montana. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome to the broadcast. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. KIOV 1450 AM, The Source, Meridian, Idaho, serving eastern Oregon and southwestern Idaho. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. The doctor is in your house. Talk Radio, 1270 AM, KSCB, Liberal, Kansas. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome to the broadcast. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. News Talk 790, KNST. This is a great one, Tucson, Arizona. Boy, I'll tell you what, Tucson, your prescription has been filled. Welcome to the Armed American Radio Network. It is a pleasure to have you all joining me this evening. Welcome to the program, and a lot to talk about. Let's get some of the technicals out of the way. My producer is Sean. He's doing a great job on the boards every week here on Armed American Radio. Should you wish to participate in the program, please feel free to call me at 877-956-9566. That's 877-956-9566. Email me live in the studio at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, and we will read you live on the air. Please keep your comments on topic. We ask you that every week. Please do so. Twitter. You know, we're having a little problem with the Twitter account. I'm not really sure what's going on with that thing. So feel free to tweet me on the air at twitter.com/AARmark, twitter.com/AARmark. If for some reason we don't read you, that means we're not getting it. So if you're on that computer listening to us on the live feed somewhere, go ahead and shoot us an email because we are picking up those with no problems. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, an awful lot went on this week, an awful lot went on, and we have an awful lot to talk about, and we're going to jump into that in just a minute. However, I want to get to some emails tonight, and actually before I get to some emails, what I would like to do is mention that, well, let's see. I'll tell you what, I'll go right to the emails. Then when I get done with the emails, I'll talk a little bit about a little trip that I took this week because we talk about that on Armed American Radio every week, and there were some real parallels there to a violent encounter, the little trip that I took. So let's read a few emails here on the air. This one comes in to us. It says, Mark, greetings. And I'll tell you what, with the Fort Hood situation this week, this one was very timely, and we're going to talk about that with our guests coming up, Kathy Jackson and Bruce Eimer, momentarily. Mark, greetings. I join countless other Americans in their feelings of grief and heartbreak regarding the senseless murder of a dozen U.S. Army personnel and one civilian at Fort Hood, Texas. As a soldier myself, I feel a personal sense of loss. Those families are in my thoughts and prayers. I hope your listeners will join me in honoring the memory of these men and women by flying the flag at their homes throughout this week. This would be a fitting tribute to the soldiers killed at Fort Hood, as well as to our nation's veterans who have given so much both in time of war and peace to help safeguard this great country. With the safety issue of service personnel thrust to the forefront by this tragic story, I wanted to also comment on a policy that the government has which truly bothers me. As a National Guardsman from Virginia, I am truly bothered by a policy now in effect that does not allow me to carry my handgun onto base. For example, I frequent the base gym in order to avail myself of the exercise facilities there. The Army requires me to stay in shape, so I go two to three times a week. By preventing me from carrying a weapon in my car, where it would remain while I'm in the gym, they put me in the uncomfortable situation of exposing myself to danger while transiting to and from the base. Doesn't this fly in the face of the Second Amendment statement, which says that the Congress shall make no law that infringes on my right to keep and bear a firearm? Anytime I see a restriction in place which hinders me in my exercise of my rights, I feel as though the organization or establishment has effectively told me that my life and the life of my family members really isn't that important. They are willing to see me or my loved ones become a casualty statistic. How would they feel if they were in a situation where they could not defend themselves? I would really appreciate your thoughts and insight on this matter. I am planning on writing to my U.S. representative and senator about this issue. I also hope to write the editor of my local newspaper. I must confess that I am not sure that it will do much good. That's from Jeff in Norfolk, Virginia, a proud member of the Army National Guard. Jeff, very well written, and we're going to not only answer that tonight, we're going to talk about it in detail. We will go into tremendous detail on that tonight with our guest clinical psychologist, Dr. Bruce Eimer, and Ms. Kathy Jackson. You know, folks, I got another one here. Mark, I came across this site and had to send it to you. It turns my stomach to look at this, but I heard you say you like to know what the enemy camp is doing. And he sent me to a site, meltguns.com. I can't keep my dinner in when I read that either. I'll just ask you to go check it out, meltguns.com. They're candidates for the Bonehead of the Week Award, which we'll be announcing here this week. Here's another one from Ed Rouse. Now, everybody knows that Ed Rouse is the father of Samuel Rouse, the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit soldier that we've adopted at Armed American Radio. And he writes in, we've asked him to check in with us every week, and he's doing a great job. Mark, I'm very excited about the upcoming show tomorrow night with Ms. Susanna Hupp. I remember the incident very well, as we are only 3 hours from where it took place. And I would first off like to thank her for all of the efforts she has made in Texas to give us the freedoms we now have with our CHL, concealed handgun license. The question I have for her is what changes might be coming down the pipeline for CHL holders in Texas that she might know about. Ed, we're going to ask her that when she comes on in the second hour. An update on Samuel. He has been getting the mail for himself in the unit, and it has been much appreciated, and he wanted to say thanks. So, folks, whatever you're doing out there, keep doing it. Double your efforts. Go over to armedamericanradio.org and check out the tab up top, America's Heroes, and send something over to Samuel from Stateside. He's protecting you and your loved ones and me and mine. Very important. So thanks for everybody that's helping us out there. Now, the final email that I got, and I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this was an absolute all-time classic, and I'm going to try to keep myself composed when I read this to you. I'll set it up in advance. If you were listening to the broadcast last week, you heard a caller call in referencing assault weapons and the federal description of such. And I got I answered him by going to the ATF website and checking on some facts from him. And this email came in when I got back to the house that night, and I mean, it put me on the floor. And it went up to the concealed carry offices, and they forwarded it to me. It says, while I was listening to the second hour of Armed American Radio via podcast, I heard Mark Walters say something disgusting and vulgar. Now, that perked my ears up. It scared me to death. He actually used the term assault weapon when he took a call from a fellow in Indiana, I think. Oh, my God. Somebody needs to swat Mark in the back of the head with the New York Times Sunday edition. Assault weapon? I expected to hear him say there's no such thing as an assault weapon unless you're a member of the gun-grabbing vermin or some such thing. Please give Mark a good shake and ask him, what in the world were you thinking? On the other hand, maybe I shouldn't be so hard on Mark since it was Halloween and maybe he was possessed by the ghost of Pete Shields. Thanks for your attention. And that classic email came in from Mark Goduto in New Britain, Connecticut. In the event that you're not familiar with who Nelson T. Pete Shields is, I will kindly bring you up to speed. Nelson T. Pete Shields is the founder of Handgun Control. And these are a couple of the statements that he's made in the past. I'm convinced that we have to have federal legislation to build on. We're going to have to take one step at a time, and the first step is necessarily, given the political realities, going to be very modest. Of course, it's true that politicians will then go home and say, this is a great law, the problem is solved. And it's also true that such statements will tend to diffuse the gun control issue for a time. So then we'll have to strengthen that law, and then again to strengthen that law, and maybe again and again. Right now, though, we'd be satisfied not with half a loaf, but with a slice. Our ultimate goal, total control of handguns in the United States, is going to take time. My estimate is from 7 to 10 years. The problem is to slow down the increasing number of handguns sold in this country. The second problem is to get them all registered. And the final problem is to make the possession of all handguns and all handgun ammunition, except for the military, policemen, licensed security guards, licensed sporting clubs, and licensed gun collectors, totally illegal. And that, folks, is from Pete Shields, chairman and founder of Handgun Control, Inc., in The New Yorker in July of 1976. He later said on 60 Minutes, yes, I'm for an outright ban on handguns. Now, I don't need to tell you that this is not happening by chance. This is what they're trying to do. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell some of our new listeners across the country a few things about the mantra of this program based on what we just heard from Mr. Shields, give you some of my my own personal opinions, and we're going to introduce Ms. Kathy Jackson, my editor and my co-author of Lessons from Armed America, and Dr. Bruce Eimer. Dr. Eimer is a clinical psychologist and a good one. He's been on this broadcast many times. When we get back, we will talk to both of them about the Fort Hood incident and a number of other things that have popped up throughout the week. I'll be right back. You're on the Armed American Radio Network.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host each and every week, Mark Walters, here on the broadcast. Welcome to our newest listeners in Missoula, Montana, Meridian, Idaho, Liberal, Kansas, Tucson, Arizona. You are all on the Armed American Radio Network. We've got a great lineup coming up, but because we have some new folks listening tonight, I'd like to go ahead and repeat the mantra of this broadcast. The Second Amendment means what it says. It says what it means. We all know what they meant when they wrote it, and we know they meant when they wrote it. We know exactly what they meant. The Supreme Court has upheld that. The Second Amendment is not open for debate on Armed American Radio. I've made the decision on this broadcast after asking a couple antis out there, the anti-gunners, to appear on this program. They are weak-kneed, chicken littles, and scared, and do not want to come in the studio and talk with me. Therefore, I've made the decision that, you know what? If you want to listen to their dribble, go to any network, pick up any newspaper, watch any cable news channel, and they get their airtime. But they are not going to get your airtime here on Armed American Radio ever. Not one moment. This program belongs to you, it belongs to me, and it belongs to freedom, and we are not going to let them bloviate during our valuable and precious time together. That's our mantra. I'm now going to introduce Ms. Kathy Jackson. Kathy Jackson comes to us from the beautiful state of Washington. She is not only a good friend of mine, she is also my managing editor and my co-author of Lessons from Armed America. Kathy, welcome to Armed American Radio. Again, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Mark. It's good to be here.
Well, I'll tell you, we have an awful lot to talk about. Now, you know that Dr. Bruce Eimer is coming in, too, so we're going to go ahead and bring Dr. Eimer in. Bruce Eimer is a clinical psychologist, very well-respected, firearms training expert and author, and we bring Dr. Bruce Eimer to Armed American Radio. Bruce, how are you this evening? The good doctor is in the house.
Quite well, Mark. Hi, Mark, and hi, Kathy.
Hello.
Okay, guys, a lot to talk about here. Fort Hood, let's start there. Bruce, I want to get your opinion here because we have been seeing an awful lot of news stories, and of course I go on to that Freedom States Alliance and I get that garbage. It's very tough to keep it in when I read this stuff week after week after week from these people, but you have to stay up on them. I've said before many times that you must sleep with one eye open. These people are after your freedoms. So let's refute and rebut some of the garbage that they're putting out there, Bruce. I'm going to turn to you first. Give me your thoughts on the Fort Hood deal.
Well, It's very much of a shame that this even happened, because we're living in a culture where even in our own military, professionally armed people or people that should be professionally armed are not allowed to carry weapons. And clearly that's a violation of the Second Amendment. And as a result of that, Fort Hood, being a gun-free zone, was a soft target for a lunatic. So in a nutshell, that's, I think, the premise that we have to go forth from in discussing this incident.
Okay, Kathy, Bruce, great point. And I kind of want to segue here into something, and I want to get Kathy's opinion on this. This is the statement on the Fort Hood tragedy from the Brady campaign. And I want to make this point very clear, that the Freedom States Alliance was putting information out before the facts have come out, which they always tend to do because it's knee-jerk reaction type of stuff by the anti-gun and the anti-liberal, or the liberal anti-everything media establishment, who I believe is the most dangerous entity in this country, is the quote-unquote mainstream liberal press. Kathy, in that statement on the Fort Hood tragedy, Paul Helmke, who will probably win the Bonehead of the Week award this week, says the following: America has seen an epidemic of horrific gun violence at churches, synagogues, workplaces, health clubs, high schools, universities, police stations, and now army bases. This latest tragedy at a heavily fortified army base ought to convince more Americans to reject the argument that the solution to gun violence is to arm more people with more guns in more places. Enough is enough. Kathy, what do you find in common of every single one of those places he just named?
I wondered if you were going to bring that out, Mark. It is amazing. He just cited the places in America that are least likely to have an armed, ordinary citizen prepared to defend himself or herself and the people around him.
Oh, didn't he, though?
And that is, it's very sad when you talk about the people on an army base. They should be safe. They do have the gates to prevent bad people from coming in. They do have an armed guard on base, but that's not, it's obviously, it wasn't enough in this case. My heart goes out to those folks. It really does. I cannot imagine the grief that the family members are feeling at this time. I don't want to get to the point where, you know, we have to make political points with somebody else's tragedy. But we are looking at a tragedy, and it does have a political implication. And what are you going to do?
Well, you do what you have to do, and that's what we do on Armed American Radio. We tell the truth about what happens. We don't posture for political gain as the despicable Brady campaign does, especially the Freedom States Alliance and a host of other gun groups, anti-gun groups out there. It's just very disingenuous how they come out with this garbage week after week after week. They find any tragedy they can. And I want to get back to that that point you just made about the Army base. You know, you're right. They don't have the right to keep and bear arms. The Second Amendment does not apply. Now, there was a gentleman, and I believe the Freedom States Alliance names him in here, and they called his statement. That was General Cone made a quote-unquote remarkable statement. As a matter of practice, we do not carry weapons. This is our home. We do have security guards that are here, the MPs and the Department of the Army Civilian Police. The fact is that soldiers do not carry weapons routinely unless they are in a training event. Now, the Freedom States Alliance is using that statement by General Cone, okay, to try to make a political point. They're using it for political propaganda, their own political propaganda. But I would like to point this out to the listener. I have a gun in my home. I have a number of guns in my home. I don't have military police patrolling my neighborhood.
Absolutely.
They do.
But even with those military police patrolling the neighborhood, the responding officer was not a military police officer. She was
Now
civilian.
We're getting to the crux of the matter here, aren't we, Bruce?
Yes.
Talk to us about this. Kathy, go ahead and lead into that, and let's get Bruce's opinion here, because this is very telling stuff, and it really, really, really means a lot to our own personal lives and our own decisions and our own responsibilities to carry a gun for self-defense. Go for it.
Well, I think, you know, my rebuttal to the remark that was made by the spokesperson, the press release that was released by the Freedom States Alliance, is that what they're trying to do for political purposes, to, you know, to take advantage of this heinous incident for their own ends, is basically communicating something that, in my opinion, is completely illogical and totally insane. Don't say I said that just because I'm a mental health professional. It was before,
you just said that, Bruce, on a to the Nation.
Well, I said it intentionally. You see, it was because that the soldiers on the base were not allowed to be armed, that they were massacred like sheep. And to have to wait for the arrival after the fact of the civilian police to save the day for the military just doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. I'm your host, Mark Walters. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we will be right back after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host every week, Mark Walters, right here, wherever you are picking me up tonight. Enjoy the show. A good one it's going to be. Coming up in the second hour, Miss Susanna Hupp. That's right, Miss Susanna Hupp, who found herself in the Luby's Cafeteria in 1991, when wacko nut job George Chouinard drove his truck through the window, climbed out and opened fire, and murdered 23 people, including her mother and father. She will be here with me in the next hour, and believe me, that's not something you want to miss. We're going to talk about her new book, From Luby's to the Legislature. I would like to let you know that we are having some difficulty. Maybe it's just me, because I'm not that technologically savvy on the Twitter thing, but we're having some difficulty with that. I was able to pull one in here, and Crusader shot in, and he says, what is the email address? The email address is mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. That thing is live, hot, and fired up. Feel free to join the broadcast, and we'll read you on the air. Call us at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566. Kathy and Bruce, welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. Bruce, I would like to ask you, I know we had exchanged some emails today during some conversation in preparation for this. We're deviating slightly with your appearance here because we want your expertise as a clinical psychologist.
Thank you.
Give us some more of the rebuttals here relative to what this man did and some of this post-traumatic stress that you're hearing, as if you can catch it, like it's a disease, because he has never been overseas.
Sure, sure. Just to complete the thought that I was trying to convey before the commercial break, I think there's no logic in assuming that you're safe in your home. So for any of these top brass to talk about the fact that they don't care, that they don't go armed on a military base because this is their home, doesn't make any sense. Getting to the question of post-traumatic stress disorder and trying to explain the actions of this person who committed, who's suspect of having committed this heinous act. There's a lot of confusion about what post-traumatic stress disorder is, and clearly we know that people utilize information and distort it to help them to justify their beliefs and their own ends. Now, there's been a lot of talk in the literature about such a thing as compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue is a term that's used to describe the reactions of a mental health professional who treats people who have suffered from trauma, and repeatedly listening to stories of people that have been subjected to horrific abuse, supposedly can create a condition called compassion fatigue in therapists who have to help people with those problems that are a result of trauma. And there's been an argument that's been put forth here in this case that this Major Hassan, is that his name, Hassan?
Correct, it is.
That he suffered from compassion fatigue, or they also call it, the technical term is vicarious traumatization, which is being traumatized secondarily by listening to the accounts of people that have been subjected to trauma, and that that's the explanation for why he didn't want to go to Iraq, and that's why he cracked up, and then they try to put forth the explanation that that's why he did what he did. None of that adds up. The explanation for why this person did what he did, clearly we have no basis for coming up with a clear-cut formulation. If he survives, which apparently he is doing, and he becomes conscious, which I've heard different statements about whether or not he is, it will be very edifying and interesting to find out, to study this man's brain, to study his mind, and to find out exactly what he was thinking and what led him to do what he did. I mean, I think that'll be very important. And the idea that he did what he did because he was vicariously traumatized or he suffered from compassion fatigue is really a bunch of nonsense.
Kathy.
Yes.
Coming off of Bruce's statement, there are some news reports that we're seeing piece by piece by piece that are coming out now, and you're seeing the word terrorism in there.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's, now we're starting to see the religious aspect of this thing start to pop out, and there are witnesses who are claiming he was shouting "God is great" in Arabic as he was firing his weapon. And, you know, we don't know that. None of us were there. However, is it beginning to look like that now?
It certainly looks like that to me, Mark, but we weren't there. I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see which of the early reports are upheld and which ones fall by the wayside as they investigate more. But it sure seems to me that if you have a man of a certain religion who apparently was using that religion as his justification for what he did, and if what he did was such a heinous, horrible act, I would certainly call that a terrorist act. Now, of course, they are saying that there's no tie to any terrorist organization, so you have a case of a lone person who is using exactly the same justification, and I don't see as how it makes any difference.
Kathy, was Timothy McVeigh a terrorist?
Absolutely.
Okay, we can use the same thing here. We got an email from Joseph Chetwood that just came in. It said, Mark, there was a time in our history that every serviceman was armed at all times. They weren't able to do their jobs without a weapon, so it was considered a dishonor to be unarmed. That's from Joseph Chetwood, and that's a great point.
Absolutely.
You know,
I do wonder how do we justify not trusting our American servicemen and servicewomen? How we justify saying that either these people are so poorly trained or they are so unstable that they cannot be trusted with arms for their own defense?
Well, I'm going to let Bruce answer that because we discussed it earlier. And
yeah,
Bruce,
I'm interested, yes.
Bruce has, I think, Bruce, you have a good answer for this because we've got a piece of legislation that we're getting ready to work with, are we not?
Yes.
Talk to us about that and answer that question because you made a very, very good point this afternoon.
Kathy, you raised a very, very good point, a very good question. There's this double standard, which is very hard to figure out the motive behind. Well, maybe not so hard to figure out the idea that our armed forces that are supposedly being trained to protect our country and our way of life aren't allowed to live the armed lifestyle to protect themselves. The idea that they're not well trained enough to safely live and go armed seems to undergird and underlie the current ruling that they're not allowed to be armed on their base. You know, in their training in the Army and in other branches of the military, there are some very strict prohibitions on going armed. Military personnel are generally disarmed on their bases unless they're participating in live fire training. And in just as in civilian life, such prohibitions don't affect committed criminals or terrorists. So you have a situation where even when soldiers are carrying, you know, rifles or carrying handguns, sidearms, in many cases, they're not allowed to carry chambered. You know, I know stories from people that have been in the military. I have not, who have served our country, who carry 1911s, which are designed to be carried in condition one, which is cocked and locked. And they were forced to carry in a condition three, I think it is, where there's no round in the chamber, and the magazine, the loaded magazine, is not even in the magazine well. So that doesn't make any sense. And you know, I don't know what to say about that other than it's very strange.
Dr. Eimer and Kathy Jackson, hold with me for just a couple minutes through the break. We'll come right back and talk a little bit more in detail, and then I want to analyze that statement by General Cohn in a little bit more in depth. We'll be right back on the Armed American Radio Network. Thanks for sticking with us.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
That music kills me every time I hear that. Now, Sean, you got to do something with that. I can't get my head around that stuff. I'm not sure if that's Christmas music or I don't know what that is. I'll have to ask you about that later. Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm your host every week, Mark Walters. And I got to tell you, we're getting a ton of email here. I apologize for the Twitter account. However, we got an email here, George and Kathy, from our good friend George Hill, who I actually had the opportunity to meet last week. And George says it like he always says it. He was a terrorist coward. That's why he did it. That's from George Hill. Make no mistake about how George feels on that. I also got a email here from Dustin at Dustin's Gun Blog. And this is a great place to go. You guys want to check this out. Dustin'sGunBlog.blogspot.com. And what he does, he's got a pretty nice post on here, and I don't have enough time to go into all of it, but I'd like to read just a portion of it. There remains, however, an urgent question in my mind. Why does military police disarm our trained military men and women while they are on base? I'm sure many of the 13 dead and 30 wounded would have wanted to fight back and defend themselves had they not all been disarmed by bad military base policy. I mean, can we argue that?
No, absolutely not.
That's the tragedy of this whole thing. These people were defenseless and couldn't fight back, Kathy and Dr. Eimer. It's crazy. We have a caller on the line. Actually, the caller is Jeff in Norfolk, whose letter I read at the beginning of the broadcast tonight. Jeff, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. I welcome you to the broadcast, and I'm really looking forward to getting your opinion here as active military. Talk to us, my friend.
Hey, Mark, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead.
Thanks so much for letting me participate. I appreciate it. First of all, I'm, you know, reservist in the Guard and everything, but, you know, I'll try to participate where I can and contribute something to, you know, what's being discussed here. In regards to, you know, why they don't let, folks have weapons, you know, on base as far as when they're in uniform and participating in their daily routines or whatever, I'm sure some of that has to do with their concerns about, accountability, things like that. Now, of course, in my email to you, I was specifically addressing my concern as it touched on just me transiting to and from the base, you know, because they can't control what happens off the base to me as far as being, you know, perhaps, you know, maybe a victim of, you know, an attempted crime or something like that. But, you know, I would think as a senior, you know, non-commissioned officer, you know, enlisted person, I should be able to, you know, be trusted enough to, you know, be able to handle, you know, a weapon. And in listening to you all discuss this, I would think one thing I was thinking about was at least having some of the senior, you know, enlisted personnel, you know, present with, you know, maybe an armed, you know, sidearm or something of that nature.
Jeff, that quote from Dustin's gun blog, don't you think some of these people would have had the ability to fight, wanted the ability to fight back?
Oh, yes, yes.
Every one of them would have. I can
say. Yeah, some of these folks had, you know, just come back. And I'm sure that some of those that were deploying had already been previously overseas. So we're talking about combat veterans here. And I have no doubt that, you know, they wanted to defend themselves. I'll bet many of them were very frustrated that they couldn't.
I'm sure of that. Kathy, Dr. Eimer, jump right in.
You know, I came across, you were talking about a blog opening. I came across a blog entry from the View from the Porch blog. That would be Tamara at the View from the Porch. And here's what she wrote about the safe at home comment. She says, "Sure, General, your troops were safe at home in a war with no fronts. They were every bit as safe at home as the crews of the USS Cole or the battleship Arizona. Safe at home like the Marines in their barracks in Beirut. An army at war does not have the luxury of safe at home. Do you think the bomber crews of the Mighty Eighth landed in southern England after pasting the hell out of the Nazis, and then they called out, 'Ollie, ollie, oxen free, we're safe at home now, we'll be sitting, putting on our slippers and lighting a pipe. No fair bombing us till tomorrow.' Do you think they made sure there were plenty of slit trenches, anti-aircraft guns, and armed guards on the base? Do our people need to wear full battle rattle to go to the infirmary? No. But the idea that our highly trained, all-volunteer army should walk around in condition white with empty holsters and bullseyes taped to their backsides during a war and right in the middle of what is, to be honest, a tempting target is delusional at best and a grave insult to our troops at worst."
Kathy, that sounds like something that you would have written. Jeff, do you want to comment on that, Bruce?
I couldn't agree 130% more. I mean, it's, the fact that we are in an armed conflict, to me, just speaks, you know, common sense volumes, you know, that you can't let your guard down. You're in a situation where, as was pointed out by that blog, you know, there are no fronts here. It's they're going to try to hit us wherever they can, and, you know, by whatever means they can. So, you know, it's definitely agree with that, totally. It just doesn't make any sense to me either.
Jeff, do you believe that this was a terrorist attack in your own mind? Even though it might have been, was obviously one lone individual, at least that we know now.
Right, I do that. You know, this is the one thing that concerns me about the, you know, they point out that it wasn't technically, you know, like ordered by Al Qaeda or anything like that, but that's the nature of the fight that we're in. These kinds of ideas that they have, they don't have to have a formal, like, chain of command. They just instill these ideas and these thoughts in these people is the best way I can describe it. And then that's what they want them to do. They want them to go out on their own, as it were, and do whatever they can to, you know, promote their cause. And
absolutely.
Well, you know, it looks like it's shaping up to be that. Now, I don't know. We'll see more information, and hopefully, you know, the authorities will have the ability to talk to this man and glean from him what they can. Bruce, did you want to comment on anything that Jeff had mentioned? First off, Jeff, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate you joining the Armed American Radio Network, and thanks very much for the letter, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bruce, you want to comment on that? You want to kind of pull something out of that, glean something from what he said?
I think that the incident and the implications of the incident unfortunately indicate some very gross negligence on the part of the people that make the rules for our Army on a number of fronts. First of all, I think that the history of this this psychiatrist, this major's unsatisfactory record of performance of his duties as a military psychiatrist shows that the Army does not seriously take responsibility for protecting their soldiers' mental health. because there were a lot of incidents that were reported where this this man was proselytizing or lecturing to patients about how the war was immoral and the war was unjust. So he wasn't there with his patients. And at worst, he was damaging their therapy. Secondly, the fact that the people in charge don't believe in equipping soldiers with arms to be continually ever ready for acts of terrorism or an attack also indicates negligence on the part of the people in charge, because if our armed forces are there to protect our nation, why shouldn't they be given the ability to protect themselves? Okay, so if we're in a condition red or a condition black and we need to bring the military in, the Army National Guard or whatever, into a city to protect the citizens, then they can don weapons and, you know, utilize their training. But if they're at home and not in the condition of alert, they're not allowed to protect themselves. That is a double standard. That doesn't make any sense. So that is my comment. There's the Army dropped the ball on this one on multiple levels.
Well, you're going. I agree completely with everything that you just said, and I think we're going to see some things come from this in the future. Now you're going to have it is mind-boggling to me that the antis are jumping all over this as if this were a civilian thing. We didn't get the opportunity to talk about what happened in Orlando. We'll save that. What that wound up as, obviously a nut job, lost his job. He's the epitome in Orlando of what's been happening across the country. He is a prime example of everything going on. He is a disgruntled employee who was fired, probably the best job he's ever had, and wasn't likely to get one anywhere near that in the near future. His income was cut. He wound up working at Subway. Not that there's anything wrong with working at Subway, but he wasn't accustomed to that salary level. He went through a divorce. He filed bankruptcy, and he went into foreclosure. Everything happened to him at one time, and he snapped. Well, guess what? Millions of other Americans are faced with the same problem, and they didn't snap. Now, I don't know whether or not the Orlando shooter was a concealed carry permit holder in Florida, and here's my position on that. I don't care if he was or not. Evil exists everywhere in every rank and file of life. There are evil police officers. There are evil civilians. There are evil civilian concealed carry permit holders. Now, we need to do everything we can to rid our ranks of that and do the best job that we can. But you cannot legislate morality, and you cannot legislate evil. And, you know, guys, it's Kathy, Bruce, we're down to the wire. First hour of Armed American Radio is coming to a close. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast tonight. I appreciate it very much. Your insight and wisdom is always welcome on this show.
Thank you.
And we are certain to have you back. Kathy, thanks so much. Real quick, Lessons from Armed America. Pick it up at Amazon.com. It'll be up on Barnes & Noble soon, and it's still the number one bestseller on WhiteFeatherPress.com. So check that out. Pick it up. Go get a copy. Kathy, you got 10 seconds. You want to say something quick?
Go buy the book, Lessons from Armed America.
I love it. Dr. Eimer, thank you. Kathy, thank you. Susanna Hupp coming up in the next hour. We'll be right back on the Armed American Radio Network, hour number two. Stick around, folks. Don't change the dial. We're back in your house.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.